Good morning and welcome. At this time, we'd like to say hello and welcome to those who are worshiping with us online. We're always so excited to see that you are there with us, and we are glad that you've chosen to join us this morning. Would you all stand, please, for the call to worship? As we gather for worship, remember God is here. God is among us, surrounding us with love. Let's choose to cooperate with God's love today and every day. We choose to allow God to form us to live love everywhere we go. Please remain standing for our opening hymn, When Morning Gilds the Sky, number 185 in your hymnal, and it'll also be on the screens. Join me in our opening prayer. Oh God, as we face all the realities of our days, inspire, empower, and encourage us to heal each other, grow strong together, to speak your truth, and to live in community as we move toward the common dream of a new heaven and a new earth. Together we pray in the power of the love of God, our Creator, in the company of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, and the leading of the Holy Spirit, our Sustainer. Amen. Will the children come forward, please?
Congratulations. Come on over. Hi, Nathan.
I'm getting my technology ready here.
Uh-oh.
That is always an uh-oh. Let's see. Okay, here we go. I have somebody I want you to meet. And you're going to have to come closer. Can you see this picture? This is Owen. Owen is 1 day old.
Oh, my goodness.
Doesn't he look kind of little? Kind of has a squished up face, too, doesn't he? Do you think Owen's going to look like this in a year when he's 1 year old? No, I don't think he will either. Do you think you looked like this at one point? But do you look like this now? No. We all change, don't we? We grow. Some of us grow this way. Some people grow this way. But we change. My hair sometimes has been long. Sometimes it's short. Sometimes it's curly. Usually not. Yours is curly.
Mine is not.
Pastor Jeff's hair is not. Robin's is curly. Nathan's is not. And tomorrow is what holiday are we celebrating? Labor Day. And usually what do you think about after Labor Day? You think about, we kind of get ready for Thanksgiving. But what happens? The seasons kind of change, don't they? And it gets fall. So it starts getting cooler. It's been cooler this week. So the seasons change. The trees don't even look the same. They start changing. The plants start changing. Yeah, we're going to get one in a second. Okay? Yeah, you can choose one. So everything changes. Can you think of something that changes? I think he just came for the snacks. But can you think of something that changes? What grade were you in last year? Fifth grade. What are you in this year? So you changed the grade, didn't you? Are you studying different things? You can hold that one. Go ahead. It's all right. Good. You hold that one. Let him hold that one, okay? So you're studying different things. So everything changes. Everything changes. The trees change. You change. Different things change. But do you know one thing that never changes? God. Jesus. Jesus is the same. Yesterday, today, forever. Jesus never changes. And sharing is going to be in our scripture later. So
thank you.
God never changes. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. Jesus never changes. He's going to be faithful and will always be there with us. Do you want to pass out the treats, Nathan? Okay, go ahead. Give one to Robin. You want to give one to Robin? Does Ian have one? Okay. Okay. All right. You get one for yourself, and then we're going to pray. Okay? Okay. All right, dear God, let us remember that you are always there. You were there yesterday. You're there today. And you'll be there tomorrow. Your love for us never changes. Your hope for us, your help for us. You are always faithful and will always be there for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You want to choose something else? Okay, our prayer hymn today is in our hymnal 3, page 432, or on the screens, Jesu, Jesu. We'll be singing verses 1, 3, 4, and 5.
Let us go before our Lord with this song in our minds. Amazing God, you have called out to us to be with you, to be close to you. Even you have sent your Son for us to be able to become like him. Lord, when we look at who Jesus is and who he was among us, well, there's one thing that we can always see. How inviting he is. How welcoming. How his eyes are always on those around him. Not just looking at them, but discerning. Discerning how he can be the most present with them. Lord, we need your help. We need to help us to be able to see one another in ways that helps us to create community. Lord, that is our desire, is to be in community with you and with one another and with those around us, always having an open space. So Lord, we ask for you to change us, as we were talking about change just a minute ago. All kinds of things change, and we are the ones who are changing. May we be open to this change, this transformation that is occurring within us, that becomes visible. Lord, encourage us and give us courage to be those who create community wherever we are. Help us to be open to things that may be different. Lord, it can be scary to try things that are different and new. But Lord, we just ask that you would give us that courage. Lord, there are so many ways that we can be community, and we may not have any idea what some of those new ways may be. But Lord, we just ask for you to continue to help us to see what it may be. There are ideas in each of the minds that are represented here and online and everywhere in between. May we pay attention to them, share them, and be able to find out why it is that we don't want to move forward with them. But Lord, we know that there is so much activity that you are doing. We want to be a part of your activity and your creation of community. As it is through acts of faith that we are able to join you. So Lord, that's what we ask of you today. Create community here and help us to create community wherever we are. May your Spirit be the one who leads us. Let us now pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we have talked about how we are creating community in many different ways, we always have to come together in order to make anything happen. Our tithes and offerings are a piece of that work. It is through what we give back in order for the church to be and for us to be working through the church. So, ushers, would you please wait upon us as we give our tithes and offerings this morning? Let us share in the prayer of dedication. You free us, O God, from self-interest and folly, and bless us with many gifts. As we return a portion of these gifts to you, may we extend the blessings of your love to all we meet. May our offering bring healing and light to a world in need of hope. Amen. You may be seated.
Our scripture today comes from Hebrews 13, verses 1 through 8 and 15 through 16. Keep loving each other like family. Don't neglect to open up your homes to guests, because by doing this, some have been hosts to angels without knowing it. Remember prisoners as if you were in prison with them, and people who are mistreated as if you were in their place. Marriage must be honored in every respect, with no cheating on the relationship, because God will judge the sexually immoral person and the person who commits adultery. Your way of life should be free from the love of money, and you should be content with what you have. After all, he has said, "I will never leave you or abandon you." This is why we can confidently say, "The Lord is my helper, and I won't be afraid. What can people do to me?" Remember your leaders who spoke God's word to you. Imitate their faith as you consider the way their lives turned out. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So let's continually offer up a sacrifice of praise through him, which is the fruit from our lips that confess his name. Don't forget to do good and to share what you have, because God is pleased with these kinds of sacrifices. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Well, 3 weeks ago, we started a sermon series on faith. Today, we conclude with this closing chapter of the book of Hebrews. But before we reflect on the author's final encouragement, let's review what got us to this point. The first week, we laid out the foundation of the faith we proclaim, beginning with this definition from the writer of Hebrews. Faith is the reality of what we hope for, the proof of what we don't see. The reality we hope for is living in the goodness of God's holy presence, free of sin and death, without fear, forever with Jesus Christ and all our brothers and sisters in Christ. The proof is the life of faith we live, which stands firmly on these four pillars: belief, trust, fidelity, and agency. Where our belief is the reality, in the reality of God, our Creator, Sustainer, and Redeemer. Our trust is founded in God's faithfulness to fulfill God's promises. Our fidelity, our faithfulness, is shown by submitting to God's transforming grace to live in the Lord's will and way throughout our life's journey. An agency is giving ourselves to the Lord as God's agents in the work of salvation in the world through the guidance and the power of the Holy Spirit. Because as we know, Jesus was sent into the world by God to serve and not be served. So too are we sent to serve in Christ's likeness. In week two, we recognize that this life of faith is a long journey that is an eternal one. So when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord by faith through grace, we start the race of endurance through the years on this side of eternity, until Jesus returns to fulfill the promise of eternal life in the fullness of God's holy presence. The author of Hebrews encourages us all, assuring that this race is not one we endure alone. And we talked about enduring faith perseveres to the finish with purpose in the promise. Through inspiring and sustaining communities of faith and abiding in Jesus, who is the pioneer and perfecter of faith. The third week, we wrestled with the reality that not only is the journey long, requiring endurance and perseverance, but it can be easily shaken unless we anchor ourselves in the unshakable kingdom of God. Sin and evil are rampant in the world because of humanity's dismissal of God's reign in their lives. But by God's grace, we are awakened to our waywardness, God's goodness, and Jesus' invitation to be restored and reconciled with God to an eternal relationship. We talk about unshakable faith is anchored in the new covenant in Jesus Christ, who gives us open access to God and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. With the open access, unshakable faith is anchored in the constant communication we have with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, unshakable faith rejoices in the Lord's continual presence that is with us. So now what? Well, we live a life of enduring, unshakable faith that demonstrates what life is like in the kingdom of God. We pray every week. We just prayed it. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do we mean it when we pray it? As Christ followers being transformed by grace into His likeness, and as agents of God in the power of the Holy Spirit, we are sent into the world to bring the reality of what we hope for to life, where we are on earth. How do we do that? Through acts of faith. The writer of Hebrews concluded with a list of acts of faith, and more importantly, I see these acts represent a Christian ethic for a response of a life of faith. So let's explore what ethical principles govern Christian acts of faith. Now, when I was in seminary, Christian ethics was one of the most interesting, but also the most challenging courses I had. I think my professor enjoyed seeing us wrestle with the nuance of ethics. You see, all of us in the class had different backgrounds, experiences, beliefs on hot topics, and opinions, of course. Our class time was often set up randomly, selecting two groups from within the students to debate a real-life situation while holding on to our Christian ethics. So often my belief, or what I thought my belief or opinion was going into debate, was challenged when I began to speak for something I previously did not support. I learned it isn't the topics of concern or what's in question that were the focus, but the people and their lives that took center stage. There are always people on various sides of discussion, disagreement, and crisis. Christian ethics makes us see one another regardless of where we stand through Jesus' eyes, and then we are motivated by Jesus' heart of compassion and mercy to act, to respond. From these few verses at the end of Hebrews, I see six distinct ethical principles that we can always lean on to govern our actions in any situation. The first is love. The text uses the language of familial or brotherly love with an encouragement to keep loving one another. Love is the driving motivation behind all acts of faith. Love is who God is and who we are becoming in Christ. Our interactions with one another as representatives of Christ must be motivated by love. When we fall short of this ethic, anything we do will fall short. Loving like family means we get to know others best as we can before we act. It means we are vulnerable with others as we get to know them. Mutual love requires give and take, understanding and discernment, togetherness in the hard things and the good things, and the desire for the best for all parties. You know, we can always turn to Paul's letter to the Corinthians to understand love from a Christian perspective, where Paul declared, love is patient. Maybe you've heard this before. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. And it keeps no record of wrongs. Paul goes on, but you get the idea. Loving like Jesus doesn't come naturally for us, but it is within us through the Holy Spirit. So we can work with the Spirit to inspire us to always lead with love. The second is hospitality. Hospitality was highly valued in the Hebrew culture specifically and was widely encouraged in the ancient cultures of the world as a whole. Some modern day cultures still value hospitality, and you can see it when you experience it, but much of the world, including us here in the United States, have undervalued hospitality as an integral part of our value system. Our emphasis is on independence and taking care of number one, where hospitality as an ethic encourages us to open not only our homes, but ourselves to help others. Hospitality welcomes people into our lives, into our space, and offers support in various ways. Sometimes this looks like mentoring, like we are doing with students over here at Shawnee, or it could be walking alongside someone as they work through an unexpected transition in life. Other times it is offering food, clothing, and shelter, assuring basic needs are met for those that we are made aware of and sense the Lord's nudge to be there for them. We can always recall James's encouragement in his letter. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But in general, hospitality is about being present with people where they are, like Christ does and is with us. The intent of hospitality is for people to experience the goodness of God. The third ethical principle is justice. The early Christians were very familiar with injustice, as many were imprisoned. They were oppressed and put to death simply because of their faith. We witness injustice every day in some way or another. We continue to struggle with things like racial and ethnic injustice. We as a denomination wrestled with the injustice of the LGBTQ brothers and sisters in Christ experience what they experience because of who they are and who they love. Refugees are displaced due to war over ideologies, countries' borders, and power, and they suffer daily. These are examples of great injustices in the world. However, justice is something every person has a right to experience. There are so many who fall between the gaps, who struggle to find their way. Consider a single mother trying to find work to support her family but can't afford daycare. What about a formerly incarcerated person who has fulfilled their sentence but is judged every time they put in a job application or someone hears their story? I'm sure we can come up with many more scenarios. As an act of faith, we are to stand in the gap and stand up for those who experience injustice. There are many organizations in our community that are on the front lines fighting for justice, and we support many of them with our donations of money and other resources that we can provide. We have our own ministries here at Faith Community, and we also support the United Methodist Church's ministries in our connection, like UMCOR and other organizations within the church who address the needs caused by different things and injustice. This is all wonderful. However, how can we be advocates of change to prevent or reduce occurrences of injustice in our own circles of influence or in our communities? This is something we need to ask the Lord for guidance. Let's pay attention and share what we see and discern what steps we can take towards justice through acts of faith. The fourth ethical principle is honor. Our text references marriage and sexual ethics as examples of acts of faith that require an ethic of honor. Honor is critical to establishing and sustaining such intimate relationships. However, every relationship we have or encounter should be entered into with the intent of honoring the other person. Everyone has value and is created in the image of God. Therefore, all should be approached with honor. Sometimes it's very hard because some have done things that are dishonorable, even deplorable. However, as Christians, we aim to honor everyone, remembering everything we do begins with love. Paul encouraged the Philippians writing, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but to each of you to the interest of the others." This is honor. The fifth ethical principle is generosity. Experiencing the gift of Jesus Christ, it changes everything. It changes how we relate with God, ourselves, others, and stuff. Before Christ, there's no reason for us to think beyond ourselves and our interest. After Christ, our hearts begin to transform, and our minds are changed as we process what we see around us from Jesus' perspective. See, generosity is born out of love for others. Where we once were controlled by selfishness and covetousness, through the work of the Holy Spirit, we are becoming freed from those strongholds. Our desire to have what others have and wanting more gives way to a desire to share what we have been given by God's goodness. We each have different capacities to give, but all of us can give generously of our time, our money, and our talents. The act of giving is one of those actions that gets easier the more we do it. It becomes natural as we become more and more like Christ. And as we all know, Christ, well, He gave it all. He gave His life so we could have life and life abundant in Him. The writer of Hebrews concluded with this encouragement. So let's continually offer up a sacrifice of praise through Him, which is the fruit of our lips that confess His name. Don't forget to do good and to share what you have, because God is pleased with these kinds of sacrifices. A life in Christ is a commitment unlike any other commitment we make. The sixth ethical principle is sacrifice. I mentioned up front that every act of faith must come from love, which is our driving ethic as Christians. Similarly, I would say every act of faith comes from an ethic of sacrifice. Paul said it this way in his letter to the Galatians. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Faith in Jesus Christ is giving our life to Him as a result of Him giving His life for us. Embodying this truth takes time, and it is something that the Holy Spirit is working out in each of us to understand what sacrifice really is. And this is something we can continue to pray for in our life as we ask the Lord to perfect our faith response. So friends, we have covered a lot regarding faith in the past few weeks. May we be encouraged as we continue our journey, keeping in mind these six ethical principles to govern our acts of faith. Love, hospitality, justice, honor, generosity, and sacrifice. And now as we close this series, I would like for you to join me in reciting John Wesley's covenant prayer as a means for renewing our commitment to our faith. It should be on the screens. Hopefully we can all read it together. Please join me. I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Place me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be put to work for you or set aside for you. Praised for you or criticized for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and fully surrender all things to your glory and service. And now, O wonderful and holy God, Creator, Redeemer and Sustainer, you are mine and I am yours. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it also be made in heaven. Amen. And amen.
Please stand for our closing hymn, Christ for the World We Sing, page 568 in your hymnal, and it'll also be on the screens.
Now, as we go from here, we go in faith. Faith that we've learned is enduring, unshakable, and a life we live throughout the race of our journey. So go in peace, knowing that you have the Holy Spirit with you and guiding you and taking you wherever you go. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.